Welcome back, everybody. It's time again to the Private Investing and Business Hour on OC Talk Radio, where we discuss the insider information that you need to know about raising capital in today's changing environment. So if you're an investor, an entrepreneur, pull up a chair, slip off your shoes, and let's get started here with our host. The host today, Jim Butts from CalCap Partners.
Well, thanks, Paul. That was a great introduction. Today, I'm here with a couple people. Now, just to be transparent, Chad and Sam are with a company called New Media Trader, and they have a product system called Social Blue Book. California Capital Partners is helping them raise some money, so I need to make sure that I say that. But they're here today, and I'd like to start by having one of you describe what it is that you're doing.
Sam, you want me to take that?
Yeah, go ahead, Chad.
Hey, guys, this is Chad. Social Blue Book is empowering creators to be able to broker their own deals with advertisers, right? It's basically giving them the tools so they can broker these deals without any middleman if they don't want a middleman. Mm-hmm. And when I say creators, I mean online influencers like YouTubers, people who do Instagram, Facebook, Vine, Snapchat, all of that stuff. That is who we're trying to empower right now. And we are.
So I can do a little bit more on this because I actually know a little bit about it because we've been trying to help you guys.
Sure.
The real push behind this is not because of creators, though. It's really because of brands, correct?
The real push behind what we're doing?
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, well,
Let me rephrase it differently. As I looked at what was going on in the industry, it seems like brands spent about $62 billion in 2014 on advertising in this environment, and more than half of it was stopped by software. So brands are spending an enormous amount of their budgets, and their ads aren't getting seen by anyone because of the software. Influencer marketing then allows people to be able to make sure that when they're spending their dollars, they're spending it in places where their ads will be seen because this software doesn't block the influencer systems. Correct?
Yeah, I mean, so this is Sam. I mean, from our perspective, the influencer marketing industry is, you know, rapidly growing for a number of reasons. Jim, you just alluded to ad blocking software and just, you know, how, you know, tremendously, you know, quickly that is growing in and of itself.
Right.
But I think overall, advertisers and brands need a more genuine and authentic way to reach their audiences. And particularly, you know, let's take, for example, a fast moving, you know, consumer product good, that, you know, a brand is trying to get out there in front of, you know, the millennial or the Generation Z audience.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to reach that type of audience, you know, through some kind of a, you know, mobile device, tablet, you know, something of that nature. Otherwise, you're just not going to be able to get through to these people. And, you know, furthermore, these people really aren't, you know, they're not watching television.
Right.
You know, they're consuming content on social media. They're consuming YouTube. And so you have to be strategic in the way that you go about trying to contact that type of an audience.
Right.
And we believe that influencer marketing and the people who have built up these massive followings on these platforms are a great avenue and mechanism for being able to reach these audiences in a very genuine, authentic way because, you know, flat out, if an influencer doesn't believe in your product, doesn't like your product, they're going to tell you.
Right.
They're going to tell you that straight up, and they're not going to be interested in promoting it, you know, to their audience because they've carried, you know, some of these creators have carried their audiences for 8 years.
Oh yeah,
and they know how their audience needs to receive something, and so you get the genuine and very authentic experience, and because you're putting it in the content, the advertisement, it can't be blocked,
right.
And these people really believe in the products they promote, these influencers. So that's that I think is the real advantage to you know, influencer marketing in general. And, you know, we feel like what we've built and put together, you know, really kind of helps that process move along and scale.
Yeah, I thought the numbers to me when I saw them were somewhat staggering, that it was currently worth about $500 million, but it was going to grow to somewhere between $5 and $10 billion between now and 2020. I mean, that's an incredible growth rate in an industry where you don't necessarily see those kind of growth rates. So you guys seem to be in a really good position. So how does it work, Social Blue Book?
Well, the Social Blue Book starts by empowering the creators with a lot of them to this point want to be able to broker their own deals, but they don't know what they're worth. So the first thing that we thought was we need to tell them, give them a ballpark, a starting point for valuations, so they know how to even begin to negotiate. Like, what am I worth as a YouTuber? I don't know. So it starts with their values. And then it's, you know, once again, it's a two-sided marketplace. There's advertisers on one side, there's creators on the other side. Right. But the creators, it starts with telling them their values. They're able to sell themselves through their profile. The advertisers find them. The advertisers make them offers. And they negotiate through our tool. And at the very end, it's very simple. We get a small transaction fee on each deal.
So,
but once again, to this point, you had a middleman in the past who would always, you know, tell the creator, you can't do this yourself, right? And we feel differently. We feel that you can broker the deal yourself.
So that was what I was just actually going to ask the question of. So there's the creators are out there now, and they are selling things, and there's a process that's being used with this middle person. How does that generally work?
How does it work with a traditional?
The way that it works today before Social Blue Book. I mean, somebody.
A lot of times they would go to an advertising company, and the advertiser would say, "Hey, you need to give us X amount of dollars to come up with creative to get to your demos." Right. Well, that's the old way of thinking. Now you can just find the influencer who has the exact demos you need. Right. This is something Sam was saying earlier. Why guess? That's the problem that television is having right now. They're like, oh, we think if we make the show, we'll get you this many views and this kind of demo and this kind of. No, you don't. That's all gone now.
Yeah.
You know, thanks to a Google AdSense. Have you heard the story of? Let me bring this up for you, Jim. I thought you would find this entertaining. Have you heard the story about Mel Karmazin? It's called "You're Messing with Magic." Well, he didn't use that word, but I want to tell you this quick story. He says. I'm going to read this to you, but I think it's very enlightening to the way the old school people think. It says, among the first old media executives to awaken to the threat posed by Google search was Mel Karmazin, then the CEO of Viacom. He visited Google in 2003 and remembers how Page and Brin extolled the value of being able to measure everything, including the effectiveness of advertising. This alarmed Karmazin, for it threatened how he sold advertising, which was based on salesmanship, emotion. Karmazin and the networks continue to charge steep rates because Karmazin says advertisers don't know what works and what doesn't. That's a great model, but it's a model, the Google executives told him. That's horribly inefficient, he said. Karmazin, before departing, trained his eyes on his Google host and blurred only half in jest, "You're messing with magic." He was mad. So it's... Isn't that funny? What is magic? Is magic,
right.
I don't know if I can say it the word or not, but is magic BS? I mean, it sounds like it is to me, and that's what's so fantastic about today is you can find somebody with your exact demographics you're looking for, make them an offer, and get them to hit your target, and see actual real ROI through a link, right?
Yeah.
Through a tracking link, you can see how much ROI they got you. You couldn't do this. You can't do this with television. You can't do it with radio. You can't do it with anything else. So it's an exciting time we're in, and we're sitting in a very hot market.
Yeah, I think that the other rationale for using the term magic is before there were things like Google and all the things that they were doing with search and their ability to be able to help advertisers and pay-per-click and such, if you wanted to get stuff out about your product, there was various types of outlets that you could use, but most of them were sort of hard. you know, and you know, except for television and radio, but it was, you know, trade publications, magazines, etc. When you start using social media, things have developed in an exponential standpoint. And we generally work in the mindset of linear. So we think it's linear, but it's really exponential. So you give it to an influencer who has, you know, 10,000 followers, and those 10,000 followers each have 5,000 followers. Well, pretty soon you have stuff that has the ability to get to tens of millions of people where you didn't have that reach before. And I think that's also part of the magic.
Yeah, I think it's interesting you say that. I literally just hung up with a venture capitalist who was, one of the questions she asked me was, she said, how are you guys growing so fast with no sales team? Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's because of influence. We there's a lot of influencers who believe in what we're doing, who are part of what we're doing, and we don't have a marketing team. They are a marketing. We literally, I think in the last month, we went from 25,000 creator platforms to over 35,000 in less than a month. And it continues to grow because the community continues to talk. And it's like you just said, Jim, you know, one person tweets it out. And just yesterday, 11th Gorge, one of the biggest glamour YouTubers, just tweeted out of the blue. We don't know them. We know them, but they're not a part of us. And they just said, everyone's got to check out Social Blue Book. This tool is, because we're helping so many people. And she tweeted out, but I know personally that she has like 25 of the biggest YouTubers in the world that follow her, follow her and her partner. So you're right. Then they're talking about, it's like a domino effect. It just keeps knocking down more and more dominoes.
Yeah, it's called compounding. And it's like we're used to hearing the word in terms of compounding interest on bank accounts and such. But everything can be compounded. And that's why I'm saying that, you know, we think in terms of, you know, it's linear. It's just going to happen one after the other. And in fact, it's really exponential. So you're tapping into the idea of how do you effectively deal in an exponential marketplace and give people the tools. So tell me about, I'm a creator and I'm interested in Social Blue Book. What do I need to do and what's it going to cost me and how do I get involved?
We have put a lot of thought into this, and right now there is no charge to a creator, an advertiser, or an influencer, right? Mm-hmm. Basically, a creator gets to use our tools for free. We want to be on their good side because they're the ones who control the content, and we feel content is king. But basically, they come to our site. The first thing they do is attach their platforms. They would sign in, let's say, their Instagram and their YouTube. Mm-hmm. And it would say, hey, so-and-so, here's what we think you're worth if you were to do a branded deal, a custom brand integration. And then they will be able to fill out their profile and put their minimum prices, and advertisers will be able to search through our search tools, find them, and make them offers. And it's that simple, really. And then what we do is we tack on a percentage onto the advertiser side, a small percentage. Comparatively speaking, if you were to go to a typical agency, they may charge you, I can't imagine, like 90% markup for a lot of times it's for their creativity. Well, you don't have to pay them now for creativity because the creator's got your demo you want. Right. They're the ones you want to get the creative ideas from, right? And this is a big learning factor with old school advertisers. They don't like this because it's screwing with the magic. And by the way, Mel did not use the word screwing. He used the word effing. Oh. I just didn't want to say that.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
But
I kind of get that. As I remember also, you know, if I were to do that, one of the things I would get back is a profile that basically says, look, this is how much you should expect to get if you were getting somebody to advertise, you know, if you were advertising somebody's stuff on your site.
Yep.
And that's what people don't know anything about today. They have no idea how much that's worth or not worth.
Right, and there's a lot of people don't understand the importance. Oh, go ahead, Sam. Go ahead.
I was just going to say it's more than just, you know, spitting out a price point, you know, to a content creator, because we want to help educate content creators around the globe as to how you can better, you know, better your particular individual brand, and how you can grow your platforms, how you can become more influential, how you can become, you know, higher value, right? That's what so many of these influencers want to do, is they want to make creating content on social media their full-time job.
Right.
You know, how cool would that be, right? So a lot of them want to fulfill that dream, and you know, there's many from, you know, who have millions of subscribers and followers, and then there's, you know, a whole lot more that that have, you know, tens of thousands or, you know, even a couple of hundred, but everybody is in that same boat as to, you know, how do I increase my overall influence and value so that I can, you know, be you know, more productive and better off at, you know, in this industry. So, you know, we try and provide statistics and metrics in addition to the suggested prices and you know, the price points that we give them that help to justify and help to educate the content creator on these are the areas, you know, where you can focus, you know, to really, you know, better that overall valuation that we're providing.
Yeah. Go ahead, Chad.
Hey, I was going to say, and Sam and I, we just got done speaking at VidCon recently, which Social Blue Book just spoke there, and it's the largest creator convention of the year, and it's in L.A., and it started like 10,000, 15,000. This year was 25,000. It's growing exponentially, and we had a panel, and it was packed to the point to where the fire marshal had to step in and say, no more people can walk into this panel. There was a line of creators outside the door because they want to be educated, and you talk about true disruption. Like a lot of these other executives are mad that we're sharing these values with the creators because, you know, one big executive came up to me and he literally, this was last year's VidCon, he said, why would you tell the creators what they're worth? And I said, why wouldn't we? And the reason why he doesn't want us to say that is because then he can't put his margin in there. He can't mark it up. We're screwing up his business. Right? And to add to, like, there's a lot more than just, like, I think a lot of people think, oh, you just calculate the viewership and blah, blah, blah. No. There's a lot more to it. To give me a small example of it, take it, Jim, you had 1 million followers and I had 1 million followers. Mm-hmm. You have tons of comments and likes. You've got a long watch time. I have no comments and likes on my video, right?
Right.
You have higher engagement. Who's worth more?
Yeah.
Like, we both have, you know, you see what I'm saying? You're worth more because you have higher engagement. These are all kinds of things that we take into account with our system, with our proprietary equations and all that. It's pretty in-depth, but it was exciting to see the packed room of creators and how they all want to have their own businesses, and they will, and we're going to help them get there.
You know, this is not unlike any other industry. I understand what's happening with some of these agencies. They probably have seen what's happened when technology entered other industries and all of a sudden people got disintermediated. I mean, what's it like to buy a car now than it was 25 years ago? I mean, the person walks into the dealership and knows everything about the price of the car.
Hey, Jim, I got a funny story. I was at an executive, a big network executive's house in Santa Monica. This is a while back. And her house was beautiful. And I just said to her, I said, hey, you know, maybe I shouldn't have asked. I said, hey, would you mind me asking what you got your house for here in Santa Monica? She goes, oh, we don't share that kind of information. So I said, oh. So I hit my Zillow button. I said, oh, you paid $3.6 million. Got it.
Right.
And silence in the room. Like, I'm sorry, but it's out there. The information is there. I just hit one button, and I knew. And, like, she was, like, flustered that it was that easily accessible. But you're right. I mean, in today's information – with the today's information highway, everyone's learning so much more about, you know, every facet of every business now, even history. Sam and I are big history buffs, and everyone's learning so much more about what's going on with the banks and everything like that. But it's great and scary at the same time. But as you can imagine, how many different people in our industry are mad about what we're doing because it's going to, you know, kind of like the taxi drivers with their gold medallions in New York. Hey, Uber comes along. Wait a minute, I paid how much money for this medallion, and it's not really worth it now. I mean, so we understand, but at the same time, man, let's get into the future here, fellas. Come on.
Well, you know, this what happens with the incumbents in an industry, which is what's happening in this industry, is they are the last. The last thing that they want to hear is that this is going to work. So if you really know anything, if you know, it's the whole idea, if somebody's going to eat your lunch, you might as well be you. If you're not figuring out how to do it, then somebody's going to do it to you. And that's what that's not what they're really very happy about. And it's unfortunate, but that's the way technology works. You know, look, you don't have record stores anymore too much. Everybody's buying books on Amazon. iTunes is where you get your music from. So all of these things are going to the internet, and unfortunately, the agencies haven't figured out what's the best way for them to work in it.
Oh yeah. We had Google summons us when they found out what we were doing. They were like, "We want to talk," mm-hmm. and we were at their headquarters here in Venice. And basically, you know, I explained to them. I said, "Hey, you guys really got we got to get the geo tagging kind of figured mm-hmm. out." So why are you saying geo? Like really get that ironed out. And they were taking notes and stuff because in our eyes, you know, everybody has a small business, right?
Right.
And they need to advertise and promote it. Right, in the old school days, you had, let's say, like the Super Bowl, you had the Academy Awards. The polar opposite of that would be Madison and Vine.
Right.
What is the polar opposite of Joe's Crab Shack in Charlotte, North Carolina? It's probably, you know, Billy Bob's blog channel in North Carolina, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like this is the guy, he's got that little business's audience, and we need to figure out which of these creators are getting the views in certain regions because we feel that it's so much bigger than just the biggest advertisers in the country. We feel, once again, the polar opposite of a small blogger would be a small business.
Right.
And there are a lot more small businesses who need advertising than the big companies. So we're excited. We think, you know, it may take a while for the rest of all these platforms to catch up, but you know, there's a lot of deals to be had.
I think you guys are onto something, and I've said that all along, that I think that you're onto something. One of the things I do want to talk about, though, is we won't talk too much about it, but you guys are in the process of putting together a funding strategy using some of the new crowdfunding rules. I don't think you're in a position to talk about that yet, but if somebody wanted to get in touch with you who might be interested in, because you should be available to talk about it in the next few weeks, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Make an email. Yeah, so, Tim or I. Go ahead, Tim. Take that one.
So we certainly do have some developments on that. You know, happy to take any, you know, email inquiries. My email address is sam@socialbluebook.com.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever questions, you know, that come up, you know, feel free to shoot me an email.
So yeah, well, I think the last question that I might have is, so how fast is your membership in Social Blue Book from the creator side happening?
So to give an example, you know, it's rapidly growing and,
right.
you know, we kind of see it as that, you know, that snowball that's been, you know, month after month, you know, just picking up momentum. You know, the difference between the amount of user traffic in the month of May and mm-hmm. the month of June was 130% increase.
Wow.
So we're really starting to see some significant traction, you know, particularly on the creator side. We just hit 35,000 creator platforms or creator profiles that have
okay.
registered. You know, people that have actually come to socialbluebook.com and authenticated, you know, signed in, you know, their YouTube credentials, you know, into our platform. So I think that it goes a long way that, you know, to say that Social Blue Book, I believe, has built, you know, a trusted, you know, good brand name within the influencer community. And they understand that we're trying to provide products to really help them. But it's, you know, the same information and data that we're providing the creators is also, you know, hugely important to advertisers that are actively seeking to find them.
Yeah, you know, look, if one of the things that I at least I know from other things that are happening in technology, you're going to be going along adding, and you're going to get to a point where all of a sudden your growth is going to just, it's going to look like it's a line up on a chart because it's just going to go so fast. So I think it's great. I think it's a great opportunity. If anybody's an investor is interested, you can give Sam send him an email. And the other thing that we talked about we'll do is after we got the thing going about and they go through the Reg A process, we'll have another show where we'll interview them and talk about this whole concept of how did it work, and because this is a new area also. So you got a new company and you're choosing a new funding area. So, guys, it's really, we've talked the amount of time that we need to be able to talk. I actually have talked over a minute, but we'll make that work. So I appreciate you being on the show, and I look forward to having you on the next show. I also look forward to you guys just taking off like a rocket.
Great.
Thank you for having us. Yeah, we're excited too.
Yeah, you guys take care.
Paul, why don't you take us to a commercial?
Thanks.